Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Hello, hello. Happy Monday. It's been a couple weeks.
I know. 2 weeks off. You know, got some travelers over there, and then I got sick last week. So, you know, it was much needed, I think. I feel refreshed.
So jet lagged.
Yeah, how was London?
I was only in London for one day, so that was refreshing. Yeah. And not spend all that time in London and get out in the countryside, where I met our guest who's joining us today out in the middle of nowhere in Somerset.
In a cow field? You meet him in a cow field?
Yeah.
I knew it. It countryside really is immediately what I think of. So
pretty much one and one. Yep. Same thing. It was a good week away for me, but definitely feeling it this Monday morning.
We have a cold?
Probably a little bit. I don't know.
Sounds like
jet lagged. Wow, cold. Yeah, probably.
Come on.
All the above.
You're young. Above. You should be able to recover those things.
We're not all 40, Ross. We are not
all Come on, I'm not 40. Not yet.
Later this year, huh?
Awesome.
Yeah, let's move to the next story.
He doesn't want to talk about his birthday.
I had one goal before 40, so I have to hurry up. I will share it after the show, but I had one goal before 40, so I have to hurry up a bit.
I have a feeling I know what it is.
You might know.
Let's see. Is it to be on the biggest hospitality podcast in the industry or what?
That was one of my goals, actually. So this I managed. Yeah. That's my achievement in life.
Perfect. Well, before we take up too much time for our guest, exciting day. I do feel refreshed after a 2 week break. So all of our listeners, thank you for your patience. You know, we love you. We missed you. Now welcome back and good morning. This episode is actually exciting as well because we have a official coffee sponsor. So I just want to give a shout out to Steve Turk, who is now a founder, not of only one or two. Nice. Good job, Michael. I love that. Not of like two companies, but now Biscayne Coffee, which is based out of Miami. Really cool company. Every purchase gives back 10% to a nonprofit that helps keep the bay clean and keeping the wildlife active and alive. So if you use our code GOODMORNING, you'll get 10% off of your purchase. Very exciting, and we're excited to work with Steve and his amazing coffee, which we have today.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, awesome.
We don't all have it today, but yeah, maybe by next week.
We will. We'll get it.
All right.
So now back to the normal order. Again, we got a great guest today, Hector Hughes, who is the co-founder of Unplugged. We're going to introduce him right after we get done with What's With the Noise and Startup of the Week. So, gentlemen, if you're ready to rock and roll, let's do it.
Didn't see Grandma this weekend with donuts, but I was in England, which is her favorite country in the world. So, shout out, Grandma. This past week was the Shorties Awards in London. It was a lot of fun. Absolutely perfect night, rooftop overlooking the Tower of London and the London Bridge. Congrats to the Noiseaware team for taking home some hardware, and as well as all the other companies that were able to bring home a really heavy piece of glass. It's a good sign to bring everyone back together. It was fantastic to see everyone. It's been quite a long time for a European event to actually happen, but was good fun and a sign of prosperity in the future.
Yeah, and the startup of the week is Hotelers. First, I want to mention this actually last week, but actually it's better to do this week because last week I met actually Philippe in person with a nice coffee together. They're based in Warsaw. So actually what they do, they're building a solution, or they build a solution which actually make the way of processing work trips actually easier. Also, work trips are going to be the new name of the company. So Philippe, founder of the company, works closely with companies like SAP and other ones. So actually, if we're contracting this solution for his business trip, for his work trips, they're actually connecting this seamlessly. So great achievement. It's also nice to see companies which are based in Poland as well actually growing. They did a round, pretty nice round of 23 million in fresh capital. So well done. The previous round was in 2020, was a 2.6. So a major upsell actually, if you're looking at the fund they did. So well done, Philippe and his team, and keep following you.
Awesome. Sounds like a good week for the industry, you know, Shorties, awards, you got some startups getting funding, rebranding, all that good stuff. But
And we're back.
There was one more thing that happens that we haven't discussed, and it will segue perfectly into what Hector's doing. But Airbnb made a change to their platform, focusing specifically on niches, meaning that travelers are looking for niches, whether it's a treehouse or a digital detox or a castle. We all know that travelers are looking for very specific and very unique experiences. That said, I am looking forward to welcoming Hector. He is the founder of Unplugged. And about 4 years ago, I was on stage at a conference and was asked, what does technology of the future look like for hospitality? And everyone goes into like crazy things like a automated cleaner to change the sheets and everything. Mm-hmm. And I went the opposite direction and said a complete and utter lack of technology. And Hector must have been listening. So without further ado.
Hector, welcome to the show.
Guys, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And we already got some live listeners tuning in saying good morning, looking forward to this. It's a really important subject, regardless of the industry you're in. So, Hector, you guys are obviously doing something right if we're already getting comments this early in the show. So if you want to do a quick introduction to kind of yourself and Unplugged, explaining the lack of technology part that Michael is explaining about or talking about, that'd be awesome. But again, thank you for joining us.
For sure. No, thank you for having me. So 4 years ago, I was sitting in a conference and the speaker got up on stage talking about the future.
I knew it.
Not really. 5 years
ago. That's awesome.
I joined a tech startup out of university. I was the second hire on the commercial side. And the first hire was a guy called Ben, who's my now co-founder. And it was iPad Till Systems. So nothing to do with hospitality. Well, different type of hospitality or what we're doing now. And yeah, we did the whole kind of startup journey. So grew from, seven people to 70 open offices in the US, Australia. And yeah, really enjoyed the whole startup journey. But somewhere along the way, I just got burnt out, you know, in 2019. Was flying around the world to set up these offices. I was running growth at the time, spending all day on my phone. And at the recommendation of a friend, I ended up at a silent retreat in the Himalayas in September 2019. And it took me a bit to get there, you know. he initially suggested it. I laughed it off. I thought, you know, I can't do that. What would the guys at work think? You know how it is. But finally got myself out there, and it was this very picturesque Buddhist temple on top of a mountain. And the best thing about it was when you get there, they take your phone off you, and you spend 10 days cut off from the outside world. So very cliche, but I came back from that and quit my job a week later. And that was off the back of a conversation with Ben, my co-founder. So, you know, he's not the kind of guy you'd find at a silent retreat anytime soon. And we were talking about how there's a lot of stigma around retreats and meditation. And so much of the benefit is just getting people offline and into nature. And we've been thinking about this kind of digital detoxing space, but not really sure what to do with it. And then heard about, you know, the tiny house movement in other countries. There are some very well-established players in the US and Australia, and just thought that those two kind of married together really nicely. So this was the end of 2019. The concept was and still is, we put cabins an hour from city life. People go, upon arrival, they literally padlock their phones in a box. We give them a map and a Nokia, and then leave you to it for 3 nights without your phone. So we got started on this beginning of 2020, just before the world changed, which actually was great timing because during lockdown one, we were getting the first cabin built. That arrived in June. The government lifted the lockdown here in the UK. And obviously everyone had been sat in, you know, flats in London on their screens all day. So, you know, really straight from the off, something kind of clicked. And yeah, we've been scaling up there. So spent 6 months fixing all the shit we put with the first cabin. And then last year was all about scaling up. So now we have 11 cabins. We've got plans for 20 by the end of this year. And yeah, the core concepts held, which is great. And we've just done our first couple of B2B deals, which is companies actually paying an annual subscription so that their employees can come and do this once or twice a year. So I think that's a really exciting opportunity, and we're excited to see where it all goes.
So it all started with a monk. A Buddhist monk, huh?
With a German Buddhist monk.
That's that's how all good stories begin.
I feel like we're going through a superhero story.
So the company officially started. You had your first guest, what, in the past 12 months, right?
So it was nearly 2 years ago now. It's July 2020.
Okay. So from that moment with the monks, and you quit your job the next week. Did you already know you're going to quit your job, or were you just so inspired?
No. I literally, because I got back not planning to quit my job. And we were trying to raise a Series A at the time. Like, it was a chaos behind the scenes. But that Series A fell through. Like, literally, I had to fly straight back from the Buddhist retreat for, like, a you know, quarterly planning meeting. And 2 days into that, the Series A fell through. And we had to close our US office, half the company. I was running growth at the time, paused the growth spend. So then I was sitting there, you know, twiddling my thumbs while my boss went back and forth with investors. It was, you know, it was a week after the silent retreat. So I was, you know, kind of feeling very, very calm. And yeah, it was a bit of a perfect storm. Went for a drink with Ben, and one thing led to another, as they say.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. You're selling to corporate clients too. You know, it's one thing just to kind of build a groundswell of individuals who like it and tell their friends, but going straight to companies and saying, hey, you guys are in the center of London and it's just pure chaos all the time. It's going to be healthy to get your employees out, let them refresh and recharge. Hit us with some of the statistics that you've seen, like on people's phone usage or like how that first stay goes, what kind of repeat guests you've had. I know it's still early days, but would love to know some of the facts and figures.
Yeah, for sure. So just on that kind of phone usage, I mean, one figure that I always find interesting is the average person checks their phone 221 times a day, which is crazy. You know, you're just picking it up and checking it. And when you check your phone, it takes about 15 minutes to kind of get back to what you're doing. Now, you know, a bit of kind of maths, and I think 221 times a day is something like over the 16 hours you're awake, it's something like every 4 minutes. And, you know, you're obviously not checking it in 4 minute increments, but it doesn't take a lot for you just to then spend the whole day distracted, basically. And that is it. You know, I mean, sure. You know, I think 80% of us check our phones within 15 minutes of waking up. And like, as soon as you do that, your attention's gone for the day, you know? And there's just so much, like, we're just connected to millions and billions of people over the internet now. And you know, that is completely overwhelming. And I think what's really interesting, what we found, I mean, completely by accident, we just thought it'd be cool to get up a cabin and see what happens if you lock people's phones away. But, you know, actually going and trying the experience, it takes about a day for the mind to settle down. So the first day you're actually a bit more anxious, but then you kind of access this this deep sense of calm. And, you know, that's how we're built to operate, you know, like humans aren't built to be like stressed and anxious. Like you look at all the native tribes living today and they're happy, you know, they're the happiest people on earth. But, you know, people in cities, you know, it's kind of stress, anxiety, depression, especially these kind of new generations coming through now who have spent their whole teenage years with social media. So we have this crazy, like, social media is almost this crazy, like, 15-year social experiment that we're only just now seeing the results of. So, yeah, I think it's super interesting just to see what happens when you get people offline. I think the biggest realization and feedback we get from guests is that, you know, you realize that the world doesn't end when you go offline for 3 days, you know, because we tell people, obviously tell people what we're doing, and people are like, oh, God, no, I couldn't do that. That'd be ridiculous. Like, there's just no way I could take the time off work. And like, obviously anyone can, you know, it always feels like that, especially running a business. But, you know, the world did pretty well without you for all those years. So I'm sure it can manage another 3 days.
Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah. What is interesting, I know a few people say when they're going on holiday, they drop their phone in their case, right, in the safe, and then they take it up at the end of the day. This is a few days, right, in your case, so they really don't see the phone at all for a few days. For me, it's pretty hard to understand as well, even though it might be good. And of course, we see this addiction, even though we're sitting at the family table, there's any distraction or you hear something, you're still going to watch it, right? So, and I know this addiction even with my daughter. She's 12 years old. Sometimes she doesn't listen, we're taking her phone. That's the punishment becomes the hardest, right? Because she can't leave without her phone. So I get your point, but still, what makes it then differently if you see the journey and the whole experience you're delivering, if we just put the phone away for 3 days in the safe and just don't open it, compare, for example, the cabins you have and the whole experience around it?
Yeah, for sure. So the key is that people actually do it. Like, that's the big thing, you know? I mean, it's you can say, hey, why doesn't someone just go and do this in Airbnb? Yeah, for sure, but they don't, you know? Me and MG were at a kind of short-term rentals retreat in Somerset last week, and two people there said to me they tried to do something similar, but there's always an excuse, right? And like, when we launched, you know, we kind of hadn't quite thought through the whole thing, and people saw a cabin on Instagram. They came to come and stay, and we were actually checking people in at that point. We tried to take their phone off them, and they were like, no way, what are you doing? Like, there's no way I'm doing that, you know? So you have to get the whole brand has to be around, this is what you're coming to do, so that you told work, you told your friends and family, and just every single excuse for why you would want to get on your phone is gone. Because as soon as the kind of idea came, I actually went to stay with Getaway in the US, which do kind of, you know, cabins, very similar, and was super excited to get on my phone. Arrived there, put it in box prepared, but then half an hour later I like made excuses and I was straight back scrolling again, you know? So it is actually quite binary, you know, either you do lock it away for 3 days or you don't. Like, as soon as you're kind of dipping in and out, then it just doesn't work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but indeed, well, it's like a cheating part, right? It's like, well, Will.
Oh no, go ahead. Keep going.
No, but I'm curious indeed, because I know myself and I think many people, right? I many times on holiday, I'm not going to touch my phone this evening. We're going to go for dinner. And for sure, I took the phone. And it took maybe not even 15 minutes, right? So I did in that case. It is the cheating part. And well, how do you see this? Like, if somebody comes with a good excuse, you still give them the phone or just don't? Or what is the reason why you really give them, unfortunately, the phone? When you give them the phone, when it's really needed, or...
So we don't touch it. We're not there, you know? Everyone does it themselves. You get there. You have a padlock, you close the padlock yourself, and then you have a key in a sealed envelope. That way you can get to it if you want it, but like you obviously can only rip the envelope once. So it's you know, a kind of layer of accountability. But, you know, it's almost a behavioral, or it is a behavioral psychology problem. And, you know, it's all about getting people in that mind. You know, people are kind of irrational. So you really just need to, if people have told their work that they're going to do, that they're going to come and do this, they've told their family they're going to come and do this, then, you know, they kind of set themselves up to success to actually do it. If you just kind of make a snap decision before dinner that you want to get off your phone, then there's not enough there psychologically to keep you from checking it in 15 minutes. So, but, you know,
can you incentivize them somehow? It's like charge them double when they touch the phone, or just, okay. I'm just thinking, how can you incentivize them? Okay, no, I'm not going to do it because I have to pay $300 extra.
Upcharge for a penalty of not unplugging.
Yeah, I'm just thinking,
I'd love to kind of build that side of things out. I mean, you know, as far as we can see, that's working now. I think 90, and you know, obviously some people need to shut their phone, but 90% of people who come do lock away their phone and keep it locked away for the 3 days. But yeah, I mean, look, you can, Apple have opened up the screen time API now, so you can kind of pull people's screen time if they want to do that and kind of, you know, have that added accountability. So there's an interesting ways we can go with it. But fundamentally, you know, do I actually want to spend more their phone? So you're almost just giving them the tools to achieve that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Get a box that's weighted, and for every minute that phone is not in the box, it's 5 pounds, and then and they're very deeply incentivized to not just scroll for hours and
you're
hours.
You're making more money. It's like, yeah, this. Yeah, how can you incentivize them without that? punish them, or if they just don't? No, it is.
Hector, have you approached any physicians or done any like pre-post blood pressure screenings or blood tests or anything like that?
Yes, we teamed up with a couple of universities last summer and did a whole research project, which was basically looking at both biological and subjective well-being. So, you know, you had the kind of subjective surveys pre and post day. But then also we had people wearing a wristband, which tracks various things, and I think the big ones, electrodermal activity, which is a good measure of stress. So we're actually got a ton of data from that and still processing it now, but already starting to see some really interesting things there. And I think in the future, I'd love to get someone wearing a brain scanner as well and figure out what's going on in there too. But yeah, even looking at the stress, it just disappears. That the kind of numbers we saw were, people having a conversation before the stay, like in their home, the electrodermal activity was between 7 and 27. You don't need to know too much about it. And then in exactly the same place after the stay, it had dropped to like, 0.16 to 0.3. So it goes to, a kind of fraction of what it is. And it shows that there's so much kind of, just kind of deep rooted stress in there. That we almost don't realize that we're kind of carrying.
Well, we'd love to come out and stay and wear a headdress for you.
Yeah, we'll be your first guinea pig. One thing I'm curious about, just from, because like when I'm staying somewhere, usually like an Airbnb property or not property, but an Airbnb that I book on Airbnb or a hotel. I know. I caught myself. Normally, like I'm the, like one, I work in social media / like media in general. So content, pictures, video, all that stuff is like part of my daily life. And you and I were kind of talking about this before the recording, but are you guys seeing a big, cause like a lot of people probably take selfies or do stuff during like their stay and showing off the cabin or showing off this, whatever it may be. But then you guys don't get that because during that 3 nights that they're there, their phone is locked. It's locked away unless they break the key. Do you guys get a lot of social media push after the stay where it's like, hey, like I just did 3 nights away and I unplugged and oh my gosh, I feel great. Do you get a lot of social media proof from that, or where does that come from for you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's actually, that's a real big driver of growth for us. Ironically, I think increased by the fact lock away the phone, because, you know, if you've got someone who's posting a story every day, then actually if they post one saying, hey, you're not going to hear me from 3 days, I'm at this cabin, yeah, check it out, I'm about to lock my phone away. And then, yeah, you know, we give them a Polaroid camera for their stay as well. So people have got Polaroid pictures, which they share on social media afterwards. We name the cabins after dogs that have come and stayed. So, you know, there's always kind of a lot of canine UGC. So, yeah, it's a really good channel for us, ironically. But then, you know, in my head, I'm like, hey, do we want to be encouraging people to have to post on Instagram before they lock their phones away? So each their own.
Well, you see that the most used filter now on the OTAs is probably Wi-Fi still, right? Or free Wi-Fi, high-speed Wi-Fi, whatever. You think in the future there will be a filter which is going to be no internet, like filter, or just lockbox or whatever, how you call it. because it might be if it becomes like a trend or more like an hype. Okay, I just, this is one something I would like to filter on, right? Because now, yeah, well, there's none. So do you think this could be moving into a space when people are just like constantly touching this phone, which you just mentioned, and even with the Apple Watch, I know if you wear one, I try to look at you if you were wearing one, because I think it's even worse. Yeah, you see, sure. you might see this movement. Okay, eventually you have the filters even on the OTAs, like, yeah, there's no internet.
I hope so. I mean, to your earlier point of, hey, work on any, you know, hospitality business do this, I really hope they do, honestly. You know, like, fundamentally we're doing this because, you know, we think it's missing in the world, and, you know, we're heading towards the underground nowadays. Everyone is just like face down in the screen, the metro, and, you know, that's the kind of world that we're heading towards. So this is really an effort to move the conversation in another direction. And just by doing this, you know, I mean, we're here talking, none of you guys have obviously been to stay yet, so just by doing this, it starts the conversation. Obviously, if we can kind of get people actually trying it, spending that time offline, you know, realizing that the world doesn't end, and make it a regular thing. So we do have kind of power users who are doing this every, you know, every 3 months or every quarter. But yeah, look, I really do hope it sparks a whole kind of movement, and fundamentally, like, this kind of future that we want to work towards. Because if we can get, you know, thousands of cabins, and we have hundreds of thousands or even millions of people doing this every year, then that will create some pretty profound changes to society. You know, I don't know what those are, but we'd love to find out.
If we look at your future projections for your business, you think B2B going to be bigger than B2C?
I think we're always going to be like a B2C brand, but I think revenue-wise, that could definitely turn into the engine of the business. I think it's always harder than you think to crack this, but we've had kind of four companies just come in inbound in the last like two or three months. We've been thought there was always an opportunity there on the B2B side, but have never quite thought it would probably come to us, and now we're seeing some early traction. So yeah, look, if we can scale that up, I think that makes it all possible.
Well, after today's podcast, you'll probably have hundreds just flooding you. So be ready, Hector. Be ready.
Keep going.
I'm just thinking of, like, is this something practically that I could do today? And of course the answer is yes, but it's a lot harder being a father with a little son if my wife and I go and being totally unplugged from a three-year-old for 3 or 4 days. What's the typical, like, demographic that you see so far? Is it couples? Is it solo travelers? Is it friends?
Yeah, for sure. So it's been mostly kind of what I would call millennial couples so far. So that kind of 25 to 35. You know, it's 75% couples, 25% singles. It's the same price of both. So usually the singles are, you know, slightly older, slightly higher net worth. And yeah, we definitely do see some kind of young families come. So some people will just put up a cot in the cabin, or we have others who, you know, leave it with a grandparent, leave the child with a grandparent. And, you know, you've got a Nokia, so you can be really have a number you can give out. So, you know, if the world can contact you if really needed. But really interested to see how that all kind of progresses. And in the future, you know, we can look to do more kind of family cabins, et cetera. But I think, you know, that's a really interesting different problem to solve, because once you start talking about kids and, you know, kids' cell phones, then you've got a whole other challenge. So I think let's try and do one thing really well first, and then, yeah, would love to tackle that.
All right. Two follow-on questions to that.
Okay.
One, how many children have been conceived at your properties?
Yeah. I have not been tallying, but we did get some press recently because Katie Price's sister got engaged one of the islands, and that was all over. I'm not sure whether she's a household name in the US, but that was all over the tabloids. So one of the big gossip papers here did an article called "The Digital Detox Behind Digital Detox Retreat Behind Katie Price's Sister's Engagement." So we're seeing some really interesting. I've heard of a few engagements there actually. We should put. I'll send out a survey to find out about conceived children, but
add it to the list.
We might have enough data.
And then number two, Hector, I think this is a huge missed opportunity if you're not already doing it. But singles weekend, where you can only go as a single person, you have, you know, a fair mix, and it's the exact opposite of Tinder, right? You're bringing
what happens
in the real world without technology.
So sign me up.
Most of our cabins are on their own sites at the moment. So we have most of our cabins are single cabin sites. So you're literally going, and you know, it's kind of your own secluded site. And we have a few sites now that are two cabins. So we could do matchmaking and send two singles to two cabins and see what happens. But yeah, as we grow,
I volunteer
as tribute. Yeah, sure.
You need one site that's just 10 properties. You know, mixed genders, and see what happens. You'll soon have couples that meet there, get engaged there, conceive there.
And, there you go.
Yeah, I love it.
You're literally building the future world. This is great.
It's like colonizing. Wow, who would have thought we'd go back that far? My follow up question, because Hector, I think you and I, we talked about this before everyone joined on the pre live side, and so it's like, you know, I kind of had this whole experience in Mexico where it's like, I need to unplug when I get back to real life. How do you guys set up your guests for that, like, sensory overload when it comes back to reality, right? Like, they're unplugged for 3 days. Is there, like, any kind of, like, tips, tricks, things that you guys recommend to any of your guests that say, hey, like, if you're struggling with, you know, stress, anxiety, depression, and you come here and you come to get away, you put your phone away, and then you're about to go home, right? You're about to go back to reality. And is there certain things maybe you guys just recommend prior to your guests checking out and leaving?
Yeah, for sure. So it's something we've kind of seen happen a bit organically. So we've got a lot of people going, and they get back to their life. And you know, if they're a couple, for example, then, you know, they might have one night a week where they'll actually just go out to a restaurant around the corner and leave their phones at home. We have other people who really enjoy, like, actually using a physical map in the cabin and go home and buy a map. And then, yeah, we're kind of building out exactly what our role is in all of that. But it's things like, you know, kind of managing what you're checking. You know, if you get out, hey, email, WhatsApp, Instagram, you know, it really is a big overload. So it's really kind of doing that gradually. But, you know, the great thing about this, because what doesn't happen in 3 days is you don't change your habits, right? So, like,
yeah,
habit transition takes some time. But what it does is it changes your perspective. And that kind of empowers you. So these researchers who did a project on our cabins last summer, they have written one paper already. They're writing a few more, and that paper talks about how spending that time offline empowers you to kind of tackle things that, you know, we all know are bad for your well-being. Like, we all know what we need to do to feel better, right? Like, it's but it's hard. It's so hard in this day and age. It's actually having that space. You know, so what we find is people really kind of come out of the experience already just with a very kind of clear idea of just small changes they want to make when they get back into their life. But yeah, you know, we'd love to kind of really build that out. And again, like, just figure out where this fits in people's lives. Like, is it something you do every 6 to 12 months as a kind of refresh? And, like, is there anything we can do to help in that interim? Because, you know, tech's not going away, obviously, and obviously it does, it does make so much possible. So, you know, want to really figure out how we can kind of best help people with that.
I love that. It's a good answer. Michael, you're on mute.
All right. Last question before we get into rapid fire. Okay. How many digital detoxes have you been on?
So I just completed my fourth 2 weeks ago, fourth in our cabin. So I'm doing it. There's a gap between my first and second, but now doing it with my girlfriend about once a quarter, I think, seems about right. Maybe do like three with her and one on my own, something like that. But yeah, you gotta practice what you preach.
If I'm with the brand
shouting all day trying to get people to do this, then I gotta do it myself. But that's, you know, could be worse, eh?
Yeah, I was gonna say, could have a worse thing to go practice and try, right?
Yeah.
All right, rapid fire. Quick one word answers, move on.
Yeah.
We've had some guests try and read a book after each question. So not very rapid. Ideal exit of this business.
Buy calm.
by Calm.
That's what makes it. Or bought, yeah, bought by Calm. Or yeah.
Okay.
And then there you go.
Ideal vacation not unplugged.
Oof, mountains.
Mountain. Well, okay. So beach or city?
Beach.
Fly or drive?
Drive.
Fish and chips or English breakfast?
Fish and chips.
All right, Will.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Come on, I had an iPhone and Nokia.
Sorry. Nokia. pizza or tacos?
Tacos.
And then Marriott or Hilton?
Oof, neither.
Oh, okay. My heart hurts, but all right. That's it, Michael.
Barbecue or order food?
Oh, what, sorry?
Barbecue or ordering food?
Barbecue.
Okay. Email or SMS?
Email.
Okay, the other two questions were the same as Michael answered.
Castle or tiny home?
Oof, I gotta say castle now, right?
I think so.
I wonder why.
Good answer. Yeah. All right, sweet man. Well, appreciate you joining us, and good luck with your inbox the rest of the day. So,
yeah.
How many times you put your phone, Michael, in between? And Will?
I think three times for me.
Three times. Will, how many times you look at your phone during this
throughout
episode?
Throughout the day?
No, zero
during the episode.
Okay. Wow. Good for you. Hector, how many times?
I don't even have it. I don't know where it
look
is.
At him. Living the brand.
Locked in the box. Locked in the box. Awesome. Well, keep gathering those stats, and we'll have you on again in 6 months or a year, and we'd love to see where things are and how many conceptions have happened and all of that. So,
well, if we can reach you at least, but yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
For sure, guys. Well, absolute pleasure.
Once you guys do the single retreat, let me know. I'll be the first one to fly out for that.
First on the list.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Hector. And then to all of our morning listeners, check out unplugged.rest, and you can find out more about Hector, Ben, the whole company, what they're doing. And we'll see you all again next week.